We're in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. Now, I must confess that I was a little torn about whether to pass on from Hannah or to spend another week thinking about the testimony of this heaven-blessed woman. Hannah has left another prayer to the church, and these two opening chapters of 1 Samuel are the only mention that we have of Hannah. And yet she is such a significant woman in the history of the church. So I decided that we should hear from her again before we moved on. Last week we thought about Hannah's prayer for a son and her promise to return that son back to the Lord to serve him all his life, which Samuel, her child, did in a very significant way. This week we're going to think about another prayer that Hannah made. Because after Samuel was born, Hannah prayed again. And this was a prayer giving thanks to God. That's a good principle that Hannah teaches us right there. We ask a lot from the Lord. Every time we pray, we're asking the Lord for something. And it is appropriate to remember that we should go back to the Lord and thank him for his kindnesses. And that's what Hannah teaches us here. She thanked the Lord both for Samuel and for lifting her from her depression. And although it is called a prayer here in Scripture, so we're not going to contradict that, a prayer it is, there is something also of a song about this testimony. And people have noted that there are parallels between Mary's song of praise for the birth of Christ, or the announcement that Christ was going to be born, and Hannah's words here. And actually, that ought not to surprise us. Hannah is regarded by the Jews as a prophetess because of this prayer or because of this song. And in it, we see clear reference not only to her own circumstances and her own son, her own child, but also of a child yet to come. The Messiah that we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. So Hannah had a glimpse, Hannah had an understanding that the Lord would send the Lord, the Lord God, Jehovah, would send the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Hannah's name, I may have mentioned this last week, Hannah's name means gracious, and she was clearly blessed with grace from God. By the birth of Samuel, that was a gift from God. It was a blessing from the Lord. And yet she also showed the effect of that grace in her own life by returning the child to the Lord as she had vowed and as she had promised. And there's also evidence of grace in this, her song as well. By guidance of God's Spirit, she spoke of things yet unseen. She spoke by faith of things that were not yet revealed. And she helped this woman, this Hannah, she helped to inform and prepare the Lord's remnant people amongst the Jews in those Old Testament ages for the coming of their anointed king. And the first thing we notice regarding Hannah's prayer, her song, is that she is worshipping the Lord in it. And she is giving her personal experience. She says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." And that is what our relationship with the Lord is about. It is about personal experience. And even although we are young, we still are able to have a personal experience with the Lord by faith, by trusting in Him. And we can hear the Lord speaking to us through His Word, and we can speak to the Lord in our prayers. We don't have to pray especially long prayers or especially clever prayers or especially knowledgeable prayers. We just have to simply go before the Lord and pray to Him. And that is how our personal experience of the Lord is formed. She says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." And it was the Lord that she rejoiced in. It wasn't that she was rejoicing in the birth of her son, though I'm sure she was. But rather, she was honouring the giver of the gift and not the gift itself. And there's a big difference. She loved her son, of course she did, but she loved the Lord more. She loved the Lord who gave her her son. And she understood the Lord was her salvation, beside whom there was none so holy, none so faithful, and none so true. So Hannah is worshipping the Lord as she brings her gratitude and her thanks to the Lord. The Lord had blessed and defended Hannah against the provocations of Peninna, but while this gracious woman had received these blessings, she was ready to acknowledge the hand of the Lord in the birth of Samuel. And she had a view of her Lord and King in this praise. So that here she was thanking the Lord for Samuel, but also her mind was going beyond this child, and she was honouring the Lord, and she was speaking things about what was yet to come. Hannah understood the character and purpose of God in a way that suggests it was the Holy Spirit himself that was teaching her. For example, she knew the Lord to be all wise and almighty, with power over life and death, because she says that in her prayer. She knew that the Lord killeth and maketh alive. She knew that the Lord bringeth down to the grave and that he bringeth up from the grave. She knew that the circumstances of our lives are in God's hands to lift up or to bring down according to his will and purpose. Hannah understood all these things because she spoke of them in her prayer. She understood God's sovereignty over nature and the affairs of the world and of the lives of men and women and boys and girls. These things Hannah understood. And as we read the scriptures and we see the testimony that these people of faith and grace have left to us from hundreds, thousands of years ago, then by faith we believe these things as well. And our relationship with the Lord deepens and grows and develops. But I want to think about two statements that I'll just leave with you today. Two comments especially from Hannah's prayer. And they're in verses 9 and 10. And they're these. The first one is this. He will keep the feet of his saints. The second one is, he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now, that word horn there, it means strength and power. So that's what we're going to be thinking about in a moment. But let me just say this. These are gospel texts. They are in the Old Testament, but they refer to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is most fully revealed in the New Testament. But here we see that the Lord's people understood, even in the Old Testament, something of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they believed in him and had faith in him. We're told here that the Lord will keep the feet of his saints. Now, that is telling us that the Lord will secure and preserve the lives of those whom he has set apart as his own people. God has set apart a people and he calls them his saints, his set apart ones. God's saints are not some super holy people, but those whom he has set apart in his covenant purpose to worship and serve him in this world. And what we learn from the Bible is that we all deserve judgment. We all deserve death because of our sin. But the Lord has chosen and set apart a people to love and to bless. And we are told here by Hannah that the Lord will keep the feet of his saints. Paul tells us, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That is, he has set us apart. And God promises to keep these people safe and deliver them from judgment, from sin, and out of the hands of their enemies. The other verse that I wanted you to mention particularly is where Hannah says, he shall give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. I wonder who it is that Hannah is speaking about here. Who might God's king be? this king of whom Hannah was speaking, it wasn't Saul, it wasn't David or one of Israel's future kings, but she's speaking about the King of Glory. She's speaking about Christ the King. And furthermore, Hannah teaches the church something about this king which we never knew before. This is the first time that it is mentioned. This king is the Lord's anointed one. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn or the strength and the power of his anointed. Many years later, when Zacharias was being told about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this: "The Lord hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." He was almost taking Hannah's words straight from the lips of this lady of so many years ago and pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ that she was pointing to as well. Old and New Testament, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hannah knew the Lord was her salvation, and she knew the Lord's King was anointed by Jehovah God, which just means that he was specially chosen and equipped for the task that he would be given. And the very word that is used here is Messiah or Christ. And this is the first time that this name, this title of anointed is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. All these years ago, and it was Hannah, a woman, who thus prayed of Christ to come. Right, just a couple of little things I want to mention by way of application, and then we're done today. Here's the first one. Hannah knew great disappointment and hardship in her life, but she also knew great blessing. This woman was blessed with a child by the Lord, for which she was very grateful. However, her real blessing and her real joy was to know God as her Saviour and Christ as the one appointed and anointed to save her and to keep her safe. Her song is a song of praise and worship. It's a prayer of gratitude to God and a prayer to honour him. And it shows us that Jesus Christ is his anointed one to save and to keep our souls. Not just Hannah's, but our souls as well. And that the joy and happiness that Hannah knew can be ours as well. And that will be more than the ups and downs that we meet, than the ups and downs that we meet with in this world. So whatever your challenge is right now, whether you're feeling happy or whether you're feeling sad, whether you're feeling anxious or whether you're concerned about what's happening in your life, the Lord will keep your feet as you place your trust in him. Whatever your challenge is right now, take it to the Lord, as Hannah did. He will hear and he will answer. And then remember to thank him when he does. And lastly, here's my final point. Hannah was a good mother. I suspect that she visited Samuel at Shiloh as often as she could while he was growing up. Shiloh was only 10 miles or so from where Hannah lived with her husband Elkanah. So it wasn't so very far to go. But certainly every year Hannah went up to Shiloh to worship. And when she did, she took Samuel a coat. Now, maybe it was a special coat to wear on special occasions such as feasts, or maybe it was just an annual coat that she made for him to keep him warm. Hannah had other children as well after Samuel. She had 3 more sons and 2 daughters. So she was blessed of the Lord. There was a time when not having a child was the biggest, most important thing in Hannah's life. In the end, the Lord gave her 6 children and blessed her with spiritual joy and contentment. As you grow up, you will have problems and disappointments in your life. You'll feel they are the biggest, most important things in your life. And you'll wonder, how am I going to be able to go on when these things happen? The thing is that none of us know what the future holds, except the Lord. And He came to save His people and to keep us through all our problems. Not to keep us from problems, but to keep us through our problems. The Lord does not save His people to afterwards lose us. He saves and He keeps, and we can trust Him when everything else seems dark and uncertain. May the Lord give us grace to do so. Amen.